Shabbos Daf Lamed Hey. Gemara starts off talking about carrying a basket on Shabbos. Rabba says a basket that holds 2 kor worth of stuff you could carry on Shabbos, but if it holds 3 kor, then you can't carry it on Shabbos because it's not considered a utensil anymore. Utensils you're allowed to carry on Shabbos. Anything greater than a utensil you can't carry. Rav Yosef says a basket that holds 3 kor you can carry, 4 kor you cannot carry, because at that point he would say a 4 kor basket is not considered a utensil anymore. Abaye says that he once needed to carry a basket, and he asked Rabba what he could do, and Rabba said you can't even carry a basket of 2 kor, so he's being more stringent than he originally said, because he was going like this Mishnah that says if you have a basket made out of straws or reeds, or the cistern of an Alexandrian ship, which were all these large containers, if they can hold 40 se'ah of liquids, which is 2 kor of dry stuff, then they cannot become tameh because they're not considered a utensil. Only a utensil can become tameh. However, by this leniency that they can't become tameh, we see that they're not considered a utensil, which means that something like a basket that can hold 2 kor of stuff is not considered a utensil. And Abaye says from here we actually see a related ruling, a related idea, that 2 kor is really 60 se'ah, and the fact that we said 40 se'ah of liquid can hold 2 kor teaches us that a vessel can hold a third more of solids than liquids, because the solids can overflow over the rim of the basket. Abaye saw Rava looking to the west on Erev Shabbos on Friday because he wanted to see how red the sky was for Bein HaShemashos, to know if it was Bein HaShemashos or not based on the redness of the sky. But Abaye says, the Bryce said, you know, you're probably going by Rabbi Yehuda's view. He said that the eastern part of the sky has to be red, so why are you looking to the west? And Rava says, no, it means the part of the sky that reddens the east, meaning the west shines and makes the east red. So you have to look to the west to see what the west looks like. And they taught this this story a little differently, that Rava saw Abaye looking to the east to see if the sky was red. And Rava says, no, the Braisa means that you have to look to the part of the sky that reddens the east, meaning the west. Don't look east. Rav Nechemia's view of Bein HaShemashos is that it's from the time that the sun sets, the entire amount of time it takes to walk half a mil. Rav Chanina says you could gauge this by this time, because the amount of time it takes to go from Har Carmel, Mount Carmel, down to immerse in the sea and then come back up. That's the amount of time it would take for Bein HaShemashos. Rav Chiya says if you want to see the well of Miriam that they had in the desert, then you can go to the top of Mount Carmel, Har Carmel, and you can look out to the sea and you'll see a boulder in the ocean that's shaped like a sieve, and that is Miriam's well. Rav says a portable well is Tahor, just like the well of Miriam. Rabbi Yehuda says the name is Shmuel. If a Kohen goes to the mikvah in Bein HaShemashos, according to Rabbi Yehuda, which is from the time of sundown to the sky, while the sky is getting dark, then he will be tahor at night, so you can eat truma. Now, this can't be according to Rabbi Yehuda's view of Bein HaShemashos, because he holds that Bein HaShemashos is a doubt. It's not for sure day. And the Kohen has to immerse in the mikvah in a time when it's for sure day to be able to eat his trumas at night. So it can't be talking about Rabbi Yehuda's view of Bein HaShemashos. So rather, Shmuel meant that during Rabbi Yehuda's time of Bein HaShemashos, if a Kohen goes to the mikvah, then according to Rabbi Yossi, who says that Bein HaShemashos is like the blink of an eye, and it would be after Rabbi Yehuda's time, according to Rabbi Yossi, you could eat, because Rabbi Yossi views Rabbi Yehuda's time of Bein HaShemashos still as day. So if a Kohen immerses during Rabbi Yehuda's Bein HaShemashos, according to Rabbi Yossi, that would be fine. However, this is very obvious. Why are you telling me this? No, because you might have thought that Rabbi Yossi's time of Bein HaShemashos is just the very end of Rabbi Yehuda's. So this come and teach us, no, Rabbi Yossi's time for Bein HaShemashos is after Rabbi Yehuda's. Rav Yochanan says the halacha is like Rabbi Yehuda for Shabbos, that when it comes to Rabbi Yehuda's Bein HaShemashos, that's when you have to stop doing malacha and take on Shabbos. And we go like Rabbi Yossi's Bein HaShemashos for Truma. Fine. So the Gemara asks, what does this mean? Rabbi Yehuda, we understand that we're going strict and we're going to be more stringent and say you have to stop doing malacha at an earlier point, and Bein HaShemashos on Friday is earlier. But what do we mean when we say that the halacha goes like Rabbi Yossi for Truma? It can't be saying that a Kohen, if he goes to the mikvah during Rabbi Yehuda's Bein HaShemashos, that according to Rabbi Yossi, that would be good, like we had said before. That can't be what it means, because Rabbi Yochanan still considers Rabbi Yehuda's Bein HaShemashos a doubt whether it's day or not. And so according to Rabbi Yochanan, you can't say that it would be a valid immersion according to Rabbi Yossi during Rabbi Yehuda's Bein HaShemashos, because that's not for sure day. So rather, what Rabbi Yochanan meant is that the Kohanim are not allowed to eat their truma until after even Rabbi Yossi's time for Bein HaShemashos, which was a very late time that you'd have to wait until after, or a later time you'd have to wait until after Rabbi Yossi's Bein HaShemashos to assume that it's completely night for truma. Rabbi Yehuda says the name of Shmuel. If you see one star, then that means it's day. If you see two stars, that's Benosh Mashos, and three stars is night. Similarly, another Brisa says one means it's day, two stars means it's Benosh Mashos, and three stars means it's night. Rabbi Yossi qualifies that we're not talking about large stars that you can only see, that you can see during the day, and we're not talking about small stars that you can only see at night. Rather, we're talking about medium stars. Rabbi Yossi Barabbi Zvida says, if you do malacha on Ben HaShmashos of Friday and then Saturday, then you would be chayiv for malacha, because either way, if you say Ben HaShmashos is day, then on Friday you didn't do malacha, but on Shabbos you did do malacha because that was day of Saturday. But if you say Ben HaShmashos is night, then on Saturday you didn't do malacha because it was the night, but on Friday you did it. So either way, if you did both Friday and Saturday, you would be chayiv. Rava told his attendant, a sign that you should stop doing malacha on Shabbos, and you can assume that it's Shabbos, is when the sun is still visible above the palm trees. That's a good time that you should light your candles, because then you'll be safe. So the guy, the servant asked Rava back, well, what if it's cloudy and you can't see the sun? So Rava gave him new signs that in the city you should see if the roosters are on the roof, in the field you should see if the ravens are in the field. Those are both ways to tell what time, you know, what the point in the day it is. Or you can look at the adane, which is a type of plant whose leaves follow the sun, so you can see where they're pointing and know where the sun is. There's a brisa that says on Friday they would sound six shofar blasts before Shabbos. Rav Nosson says the first was to signify that you should stop working in the fields. The second was that you should stop working in the cities and close the shops. The third blast was that you should light candles. Rav Yehuda actually says the third blast was to take off your tefillin, because they used to wear tefillin all day long back then, except for Shabbos. And then after this third blast, then the guy was blowing the shofar would wait enough time to roast a small fish or to bake bread so that anyone could do their last minute Shabbos preparations. And then he would blow a tekiah, trua tekiah, which meant that it was officially Shabbos. Rabbi Shimon Gamliel says, well, in Bavel, they only blow a tekiah and then a trua, and then it's Shabbos. The Gemara says, one second, if they only blow a tekiah and a trua, then they won't get to six total blasts. They only have five blasts because they have the first three and then just a tekiah and a trua. That doesn't get to six. So the Gemara answer is that no, it means they blew two tekiah and then a trua and then it was Shabbos. But still, they're doing something different than what they do in Eretz Yisrael. The Gemara answers to answer Rabbi Shimon Gamliel's problem that they're just doing what their ancestors did in their custom, so it's fine. Rav Yehuda, the Amora, said to Rav Yitzchak, his son, that really, it's at the second blast that they would light candles. So who's Rav Yehuda going like? He can't be going like Rav Nosson, who says that it was at the third blast that they would light candles. And he can't be going like Rabbi Yehuda, the Tana, that was at the fourth blast that they would light candles, because Rabbi Yehuda said that the tefillin was the third blast. So who's he going like? He has to be going like one of these opinions. So we answer, really, Rav Yehuda, the Amora, said that it's at the third blast they would light candles, and he's going like Rav Nosson. Tandavei, Rabbi Shmuel just elaborates on what we had been saying. On Friday afternoon, you sound six shofar blasts. The first blast is that the field workers should stop working, and then all of them, the ones who are in the further fields and the closer fields, would all wait for everyone to be at the entrance to the town before they would all go in, and they would all go in together, just to go in together so that you didn't think any of them were still working. You wanted to know that they all came in together. Then the second blast signified that the shop owners would close their shops. The third was that if you had pots and stuff on the stove, you should remove them from the stove, and you should insulate your food for the next day, and you should light candles. Then the guy who's blowing would wait for the amount of time it would take to roast a fish or to bake bread for people to do their last minute Shabbos preparations, and then he would blow a set of tekiah, trua tekiah, and then it was Shabbos, and that's how you get 2 6 blasts. Shkoyach.